Thank you to the song leaders for the encouraging song leading. We truly appreciate it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Father, we want to honor you and thank you on this great day. We're just so fired up to celebrate Easter together. All of the songs that remind us of Jesus rising from the dead and all the good and awesome and great things that means for us. And we do just want to honor Jesus today. We know that the resurrection came after the cross. We know that the cross was extremely painful and challenging for him. And we're just so thankful that he now sits in his rightful place, being honored for being the great Son of God who he is. And today we pray as we look into your word that you will move in each of our hearts, embracing Christ, embracing the resurrection, embracing the hope that we have because of you and because of your Son, Jesus. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. And while you're turning there, we're so grateful to have everybody here with us. Thankful for the family members that are in town visiting. Those of you who are traveling that are stopping by with us today, we're truly grateful to have you. Hopefully, you had some good, encouraging fellowship. It seems like everybody was during the fellowship break. And now, we're just really looking forward to focusing on Jesus, focusing on his resurrection, focusing on what that means for our lives. And hopefully, and it's my prayer that today each one of us can go away encouraged and lifted up with hope because of what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You know, here we have this story of the empty tomb, of Mary Magdalene coming there, seeing that the tomb was open, running back to the apostles. Then we find that Peter and John take off, running for the tomb, to figure out what happened. John, being a man, probably was a pretty competitive guy, so he had to mention that he got there first, as men would typically do. He actually mentioned twice that he got there first. But he had the humility to admit that he didn't go in, at least, right? Peter, maybe being bigger and a little bit more slow than John, also maybe had more courage. So he got to the tomb and just ran right in. It took a little while for John to get up enough courage to go in to see what in the world was going on. But the Bible says that at this point in time, and this is very encouraging to me because just remember, 3 whole entire years spent with Jesus. You know, the guys that were like the pillars of the church, men who wrote the scriptures, but still, at this point in time, they did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And hopefully that gives you hope as you study the scriptures and you think to yourself sometimes, what on earth? I have no idea what this scripture is saying. I have no idea what this means. And you're trying to figure out the Bible and study through the Bible. Sometimes it just takes time for God to reveal things to us in the right time. Well, as it turned out, they figured it out pretty quickly all about the resurrection, didn't they? And when they did, it completely changed their lives forever. And when I say forever, I don't mean it changed their lives for the rest of their life. I mean it changed their life for all of eternity. Consider the things that they wrote in the future and later years. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." This is what Peter learned to understand from the resurrection. What about John? In 1 John chapter 3, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." On this Easter holiday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And one of the resounding messages from the resurrection is the message of hope. Have you ever felt like you didn't have any hope? You ever been in a situation that you just felt was hopeless? You know, this can have a variety of different levels of magnitude. Sometimes we could just think, this situation is hopeless. But other times we could start thinking, my life is hopeless. You know, and then we could start thinking, there's just no hope. I'm without hope. There's no possibility of things turning out okay for me. There's no potential for any redeeming value in my life or in the situation I'm in. There's no point in even caring or trying any further. But the Bible has good news for you and me today. The Bible teaches us that it is an eternal and universal truth that hope always exists. It's eternal because hope has existed before the beginning of time, and hope will exist after the end of time, and there's no point in time that we will ever experience that there's no possibility for hope. It's universal because there's no person who's alive today or who's ever going to be alive. There's no person who is so far away that they cannot find hope in God. Now, if you've already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? You actually already have this amazing hope of the resurrection. Now, sometimes it doesn't feel like we have hope, but that doesn't mean we don't have the hope. And sometimes Satan is working so hard to deceive us and just try to get us to believe that we have no hope, but it's not true. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you already have hope. The resolution to our problems may not have arrived yet. The relief from our hardships may not have shown up yet. But God has already given us the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not that God does not have the ability to make our hardship and our trials go away. It's simply that God is using our hardship and our trials for our own good. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, the Bible says this, "In this you greatly rejoice." What do I greatly rejoice? "Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This is the promise that we have for those of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, the trials and the hardships, they're for our benefit. James says that they help us grow and they help us mature. Peter says that they actually help us give more glory to God by the way that we go through these things, testing our faith and showing our faith to be true. But what about if you don't currently have a relationship with Christ? And there's two ways in which that might be happening in your life. Maybe you never have had a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you have started to drift away in your relationship with Him. But either way, if you currently are not in a relationship with Jesus, He is calling you today, come to Him and receive the hope that He has to offer you. And everybody needs this hope that He has to offer. You know, we need the hope of forgiveness and redemption. We need the hope of being able to have a do-over and a fresh start in our life. We need the hope of having purpose and meaning in our life and in all the things that are going on in our life. We need the hope of strength and power to deal with the things that tear us down, the things that are discouraging us and tearing us apart. We need the hope of clear direction and the hope of timeless wisdom provided through Jesus. We need the hope that there's a source of peace in our life. And for crying out loud, I mean, the things that are going on around us are just amazing to me. You know, everybody's, you know, our kids are growing up in a way in which I did not grow up. And my grandfather grew up, you know, there was World War II going on. But when I was growing up, it was relatively peaceful. But nowadays, it seems like there's no hope for peace. Every time you turn around, there's somebody going somewhere and blowing something up. It's amazing. But in Jesus, we have our hope for peace. We need hope in the fact that all the fruits of God's Holy Spirit can be produced in our life. It's not the situation that we're in. It is the fact that who is in us? The Holy Spirit of God. And what does the Holy Spirit produce? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. These are awesome things. This is all part of what we receive in our hope that we find in a relationship through Jesus' life, through Jesus Christ. And I have to say this, the hope of eternal life. Sometimes we don't think enough about eternal life. We don't take eternal life seriously enough. We're just like, oh, yeah. You know, you just want me to be happy in my misery now by telling me things are going to be better later on after I die. No, this is not it at all. There is nothing more real than eternity. This little, tiny little bit of life that we get here now on this earth. You know, this is the time of year when all these cherry trees are blossoming and these pear trees are blossoming. And, you know, we have all the festivals around the cherry blossoms. And, you know, you just see these beautiful blossoms on the tree and they're just gorgeous. And they just bring a lot of joy. But you know, you think about those blossoms. They come, and it's just a very short period of time later, and they're gone. You know, you wake up, and there was some wind, or there was some rain the night before. And where are all the blossoms? They're on the ground. The guys come around and mow the lawn and rake them up. They're gone. This is exactly what our life on earth is like. It's these blossoms. Yeah, they're beautiful. Our lives are beautiful here. They're really neat, and there's so many good things about them. But you know what? It just comes, and it goes, and it's over, and it happens so quickly. Now you're a teenager. You're 14 years old. You're like, I don't know about quickly, you know. I mean, people are living. My grandmother, she's been around a long time, you know. Yeah. But then you wake up one day, and you are a grandmother. Uh-oh. And you are a grandfather. And you're like, where did all of the time go? Our life is fleeting here on earth. Eternity, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. Hopefully there's a tree behind me on the screen up there with some flowers. And yeah, in just one season, in just a few weeks, those things come and go. But I want you to think a little bit about eternity. Eternity is different. You know, you can look at the blossoms on that tree back there, and I don't know how many there are, but it's a lot. And think about this. What if one of those blossoms fell once every 1,000 years? They just stayed on the tree. And every 1,000 years, one blossom fell off that tree. You know, after 10,000 years, only 10 blossoms have fallen off the tree. After 100,000 years, only 100 blossoms have fallen off that tree. You know, by time, every single blossom falls off that tree that you see in the picture. I don't know how long that would be. Is that a million years? I don't know. A long time. By time that happens, eternity, it's just begun. That's it. It's just begun. In fact, there's no less time in eternity after every blossom falls off of that tree once every 1,000 years than before the very first blossom fell. Eternity isn't closer to the end, nearing the end, in any way whatsoever. This thing that we call life on earth, it's so short, it's so fleeting, it's just really a lot less real than eternity. And only in Jesus Christ do we have the hope of eternal life. What are we going to invest our time and our life in? Just this short few years that we have here, or eternity? That's what the resurrection from the dead is all about. And you know, and if you've been drifting away from your relationship with Jesus, I do have good news for you. Sometimes we just feel like I had my chance, I blew it, and now it's over. This is not true at all. Think about what Jesus said in Revelation 3, verse 19 and 21 through 21. He said, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." This is the message that Jesus is giving in the book of Revelation to disciples who have drifted away from him. "I'm knocking on the door. Let me back in. If you overcome, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to let you sit with me on my throne. You're going to overcome. You're going to be with me and my Father for eternity. This is the promise that he has for you." You know, this is the incredible news. If you've drifted, you can make a comeback. Amen. You can make a comeback. And you don't only have one comeback. You know, Jesus said, you have to forgive 7 times 70 times. Think of the number of comebacks you can make. Say you're like, "I've made 5 comebacks and I'm still drifting." Make another one! We all love comeback stories. And has anybody been actually paying attention to the NCAA men's basketball tournament? Raise your hand if you're paying attention to that. Hey, some people do pay attention. A lot of people actually do, all right? Well, this year, the greatest comeback of all NCAA tournament history occurred this year. I think I have the teams right. I didn't actually triple check to make sure, but I believe it was Northern Iowa and Texas A&M. Northern Iowa was winning this basketball game. And if you don't know, okay, in basketball, you know, you get 2 points for a regular shot, 3 for taking a really long shot, and if someone fouls you, you get to take a foul shot, you get 1 point, okay? So it's not like football, 1 touchdown, 6 points. No, nothing like that, okay? So Northern Iowa is winning by 12 points with 35 seconds left in the game. Now, statistically speaking, essentially, it's 100% impossible for Northern Iowa not to win the game. It's actually 99 point something, 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 something. But if you round it, it's 100%. It's literally impossible. You cannot lose a basketball game when you're winning by 12 points with 35 seconds left. Because you can actually just take the ball and stand there for like 30 of those 35 seconds and do nothing, you know, and win that game. But somehow, with 35 seconds left, Texas A&M came back and tied the game, went to overtime, went to double overtime, and they won the game. They actually stole the ball from Northern Iowa 4 times in 35 seconds. They made 3 layups, a 3-point shot, and somehow got fouled, took a foul shot, and tied the game. All in 35 seconds. I guarantee you, almost anybody in this room could have been on that court, and we would have won that game against Texas A&M. It was a miracle. I mean, it's impossible, right? We love these stories of great comebacks, don't we? Because they give us a sense of hope. You know, they just fire us up and motivate us. But you know, Jesus Christ made the greatest comeback of all time. And he made a literal comeback. He actually literally came back from the dead.
Amen.
From the dead. Jesus made this great comeback. And with that, it gives us the promise that there's nothing that we can't come back from.
Amen.
With Jesus, we come back from a struggling marriage. With Jesus, we can come back from addiction.
Amen.
With Jesus, we can come back from depression.
Amen.
With Jesus, we can come back from financial hardship.
Yeah.
With Jesus, we can come back from poor health.
Yeah.
With Jesus, we can come back from being bullied.
Amen.
With Jesus, we can come back from being lonely. With Jesus, we can come back from all kinds of struggles. And I'll just say, you know, I know for all the teens out here, you know, everybody, middle school, high school, college students and things like that, I know that growing up is full of all kinds of struggles that you've experienced in your life. And like several long hundreds of years ago, I was a teenager too, myself. And I remember. But you know what? With Jesus, you can come back with all of those struggles. You can still come back.
Amen.
With Jesus, you can come back from all kinds of disappointment, hurts. And even this, even sin, with Jesus, we can come back from our sin.
Amen.
Now, ultimately, he promises disciples that we'll come back from death and live with them eternally.
Amen.
Now, that's an awesome comeback, isn't it?
Yes.
This is the hope that is offered to us in Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is our point here? Our point is that it is a universal and eternal truth that there is always hope for us in our life, in every situation, through every problem, through every challenge, through every hardship, through our sins, through our drifting and falling away. There is always hope in Jesus.
That's right.
This is Easter, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate that message of hope. We celebrate that it's eternal and universal. And that any one of us in this room, every one of us in this room, does have hope in Jesus. And so, if you're here today, and you're currently living as a disciple of Jesus, then one thing I want to remind you to do is just be fired up over the fact that you have so much hope.
Amen.
It's awesome. And become eager and faithful to share that hope with others as well. They need what we have. Don't be dizzy and confused and faked out by the fact that you have hardship and trouble and that you're not perfect. You have all the hope in the world and all the hope out of the world too. All the hope. And everybody needs what it is that we have in a relationship with Jesus. If you've been drifting, like most of us do at some point in time in our walk with God, hey, just repent. Come back to him. There's a cornucopia of hope waiting for you.
Amen.
Just come back and get it. Feast on it.
Amen.
With Jesus. And if you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus, then you can act on that today too.
Right.
First of all, just ask God. God, just please show me the way. Show me how to find this hope in Jesus. He will. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, when we seek, we'll find. If we ask, he will show it to us. He will give it to us.
Right.
And I want to encourage you, find somebody here in the church or anybody who invited you out, somebody you know here. Ask them, could you just please sit down with me? Study the Bible with me. Help me understand this hope. Help me receive this hope that I can have only in Jesus Christ. Because the message of Easter is the message of hope. And the good news is for everybody here today. All we have to do is have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we do, we have an endless supply of hope for all of eternity. Thank you very much.